Is there a possible new explanation for some of the actions taken by former New England Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez? He's the player who was accused of three murders and who took his own life in state prison, where he was serving a life sentence. After examining his donated brain, researchers at Boston University say Hernandez suffered the second most severe form of the brain disease known as CTE. Here's the lawyer for the Hernandez family, Jose Baez, raising the behavior question.
There are certain things you can't explain, especially someone with the disease such as CTE. The brain, there's nothing more sensitive and nothing more controlling than a brain injury.
As a result of the study of Hernandez's brain, his family has filed lawsuits against the Patriots and the NFL. With us this morning to discuss the findings is one of the earliest researchers into CTE, Dr. Julian Bales, chair of neurosurgery at North Shore University Health System in Chicago. He's been a sideline physician for college and NFL teams and was one of the doctors featured in the movie called Concussion. Dr. Bales, good morning. Thanks for speaking to WBUR's Morning Edition.
Good to be with you.
Aaron Hernandez was just 27 years old. I'm wondering how surprising or common it is to find level 3 CTE in a brain of someone that age.
It's surprising, and it's very, very unusual to find it that extensive. My experience is that you sometimes see some tau protein deposition, some indication of prior injuries or impacts. But apparently this was very extensive and rather unprecedented.
You know, human behavior is complicated. That's, of course, an understatement. But still, is it reasonable to wonder what impact CTE played in the violent behavior Hernandez was accused of, or what role it might have played in his suicide? You know, that's all the talk of people on the street now following word of this new development in the Aaron Hernandez story.
Well, his story obviously is very sad all the way around, and it's very poignant that this finding now comes out. I would say it's hard to take slides or pieces of brain microscopically and trace that back, link that to human behavior. But there have been quite a few other cases of CTE that have been associated with either violent behavior, sometimes homicidal behavior, and not infrequently suicidal behavior.
Concern about head trauma in football and other sports, of course, has increased in recent years as more research is done. Aaron Hernandez and the criminal charges against him received a lot of attention, not just here, but around the country. What impact could this new revelation that he had CTE have on how head trauma is addressed in sports, do you think?
That's a great question, a broad question. I believe that head trauma is being addressed at every level of sport and in every sport that has the potential for head contact or collision. So I think it certainly is addressed, has been addressed. But all sports have to work to take head contact out. Hitting your brain does not help anyone, and that's a real challenge. As much as we try, some sports have that potential, just like other activities that we do in life have potential for injury.
You know, I mentioned that you've been a sideline physician for college and NFL teams. I'm wondering from your point of view, is there anything that can be definitively done to protect players from further head injury?
Well, certainly changes have been made. Changes have been made the last several years from the NFL right on down, and not just in football, but ice hockey, soccer. But all of these sports have the potential for a head contact or collisions. Some of the sports have helmets. Helmets do not prevent concussion. So it's a bit of a quagmire in that athletes want to play and they should play sports. We have to work to take head contact out. At the same time, we hope that protective equipment will continue to be part of the solution.
So let me ask you one last question, Dr. Bales. How do you think these new revelations about Aaron Hernandez are going to affect research or maybe even relations between players and coaches in the organizations that the players work for?
Well, in terms of research, the research must continue, but at the same time, we've got to work with protective equipment. We've got to work with continued reduction of contact, whether it's practice or games to the head. And this relationship between coaches and players obviously is vital, but they've got to work together to try to be part of the solution.
Dr. Julian Bales, chairman of neurosurgery at North Shore University Health System in Chicago. Thanks a lot for joining us this morning.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.